Hey, good morning, Streams Church. It's me, Pastor Lloyd, coming to you again. It's May 3rd of 2020. And according to Governor Ducey, we'll be doing this at home thing for another 15 days or to May 15th. And it'll be longer before we get together in services. And we've been talking to other pastors in the Valley. We've decided that we just want to make sure that when we come together, we can come together in unity. And we can come together in celebration where there's just not a lot of stress or tension about why we're coming out. We just think that's the way to do it, that we're going to come out rejoicing together. So for right now, get in the circle groups. We're going to be creating conversations online for our circle groups. Get in one of those. You can start having conversations. We'll have questions you can answer, connecting with people, and then we'll have more information on how we're going to roll out services at the time, one phase at a time until we get there. And we're prepping our sanctuary, getting everything ready for when we do get to come back together. So we're really, really excited about that. And I know you're sitting here going, why are you wearing a Diamondbacks hat? This is my native Diamondbacks hat. It reminds me to pray for the Navajo Nation. And I hope you're praying for them up there. They've been hit sort of hard with the coronavirus. But I miss you. I miss baseball. I miss life. And I'm wearing a hat too, because if you could see my hair right now, it's out of control. Well, all right. I'll go ahead. I'll show you. Here we go. See, I told you. Hey, next Sunday is Mother's Day, and so I'm going to ask you to send me some videos. So when you do your videos, shoot them in landscape, just like you see right here, and three things that you can either say one, two, or all three, but a minute or less, no more longer than a minute. They can be a one-liner that your mother or grandmother used to say to you or the other children all the time, a one-liner. A great piece of advice that either your mother or grandmother gave you, or a nickname that she always called you. And you can send that to pastorloyd@streamschurch.org, and next Sunday we'll be previewing that. So we have an interview. Pastor Mitch is going to interview one of my favorite families in the church, the Wallace family. They've been with us for quite a long time. So here's an interview about how they're doing during this time.
All right, we are live. All right, what is up, Streams family? Mitch here. I am joined by the Wallace family. And we are just doing a little segment here. We just want to highlight one of our families in our church, and we really miss you guys, and we hope you're doing well. We hope that this will be just an encouragement to you, and going to get a little bit vulnerable here and just kind of share what the Wallace family is going to share with us. So, John and Natalie, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, hanging in there.
I think as well as we can be during this time. It's been crazy. So I just got a question for you guys. What has been the toughest or most challenging thing as a family for you guys during this quarantine?
I think just being in the same space together and trying to work and do school and bandwidth and just trying to, keep our phone calls separate and being all in the same space, and gives a lot of opportunity for patience and grace. Yeah. Notice I said opportunity. I don't have them yet.
Yeah, I totally understand that. What about you, John?
I would echo that. I thought our house was plenty big till we're all in it 24/7 for 6 weeks, and looks like a couple more. So definitely that's a little frustrating. And then just really missing, our church family, our friends, that interaction we'd normally get on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning or Wednesday night or whatever. Missing face-to-face contact with people.
Yeah, for sure. And let's go to the students. Pierce, Daisy, and Gage, how have you guys been doing? What's been the toughest thing for you guys?
Well, I actually kind of enjoy being home all the time with family, but I guess it is kind of difficult as far as like more space management and time management, because there's no routine. You might bump into someone when they're doing work or homework, and it gets kind of busy, and like Mom said, there's there's a limited amount of bandwidth going around. It's kind of important since we're all at home doing work and schoolwork and watching TV. I don't know. So, but overall, I've had a great time.
Yeah. You guys feel like you've been glued to your phones?
What?
Like with Zoom and school and everything? I feel like I have been. But it's been pretty crazy. So in that kind of same, Daisy, what about you? What's been kind of the most challenging thing for you? All right, if you don't have anything. Just like friends, not being able to see friends.
Yeah, can't see my friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty, that can be challenging. So how are you guys staying spiritually connected as a family during this time?
Well, I could kick us off. Individually, we're still theoretically all having our devotion time. As a family, we're trying to go through Psalms and Proverbs together. In reality, that only happens occasionally where we get to kind of do it together as a family and get it together, kind of go up to takeaways. But the rest of the time we're doing it individually and occasionally coming together. So that's
We had already established a routine of we pray with the kids every night before bed. That's something we've always done that we just continue to do with them. So
yeah, I think that's awesome. I had heard from someone that you guys were reading through the Psalms and the Proverbs each month. And I thought that was awesome. I think during this time of we're not being able to meet together as a church, it's been trying, but I think it's also been given an opportunity for families to really kind of come together and do devotionals like that. So I just wanted to highlight you guys and ask how that had been going. And for you students, for Pierce, Daisy, and Gage, how has that been going for you guys, the devotions?
Yeah, I don't know. I like doing devotions in the morning, like not having to wake up really early to go to school is kind of convenient, because I know for me and a lot of other people, it's kind of hard to do devotions right in the morning. So like my devotion used to be in the middle of the day, but now it's a lot easier since I can get a little bit more sleep and just kind of start off good. So I enjoy that. And there's no really time limit for school and stuff. And it's cool that we can, like, I didn't used to be able to like be here for dinner with our family. So I get to pray with them and enjoy a good meal with them every day, which is really nice for me. And that's one way we've been connected. And me, yeah.
What about you, Gage?
I really enjoy reading as a family and hearing everybody read together. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So what would you guys say as an encouraging word, just as a final word, to families in our church? How would you encourage them during this time?
So encouraging word, I would just remind everybody that this too shall pass eventually. I have a friend that reminded me that we should always be trying to learn something about ourselves, and this time is no exception, right? And, so just focusing on what I could learn about myself right now has kind of been my takeaway. And
yeah, that's really good.
Something to focus on.
And also opportunity with the kids. I know that especially the boys are going to be gone in a couple of years probably, and I don't know what they're laughing at. It has been nice for me to have them home despite being, a small space to all be in. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy that time with them. I think if we can look at it from the perspective that this is a opportunity to be with our kids or our spouses or enjoy some time of slowdown, and just keep it focused on the opportunity, then that's an encouragement to somebody. I don't know.
That's a really good perspective. I like that a lot. Well, thank you guys so much for just sharing with us. And we love you and miss you. Can't wait till we can get back and be together in church. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Love you too. Love everybody else.
Bye.
There we go.
Hey, Streams Church. This is Paul Greer, one of the elders here at Streams. Hey, I was just praying and reading this morning, and I wanted to share something that I just felt was important. And timely. I was reading in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and I want to read this to you out of a Hebrew translation. I'm not going to read Hebrew to you, but this is how it reads in this particular translation. It says in Joshua 1:8, "Let not this book of the teaching cease from your lips, but recite it day and night, so that you may observe faithfully all that is written in it. Only then will you prosper in your undertakings, and only then will you be successful." So a couple of things I want to share with you. Just one is this, that you notice how in this translation it calls the book of the teachings. And I think that's important for us to get, because when we read the Bible, we need to understand that it is a book of teachings. The other thing is I want to share with you a couple of outcomes. So in this verse, one of the outcomes is you shall prosper. Meditating on the Word of God day and night, reciting the Word of God to yourself day and night, it has some outcomes, and one of them is you shall prosper. And the Hebrew word there for prosper means to push forward. It literally means it means to break out. And right now, I can't think of a better time that we could all use a breakout. It goes on and says, you will be successful. And right now, you know, economically, in our jobs, in our homes, success is something we could all use more of. But it also goes on and says in the Hebrew that then you will be successful. And the Hebrew literally means you'll proceed intelligently. It means as you read the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, as you apply those principles, you're going to have a push forward, you're going to have a breakout, and you're going to proceed intelligently. That's pretty exciting to me. In Psalms 19:7, it says, "The teachings of the Lord," your version may say, "the law of the Lord is perfect." And that word for perfect there literally means unblemished. It's the same word used in all of the Hebrew for the sacrifices that were unblemished. The teaching of the Lord is unblemished. Then it goes on and says, restoring the soul. And I think God is doing a deep restoration in all of us through this time as we meditate on His Word, as we apply those principles. We're going to see God do a deep restoration. And it says it's perfect. It's just perfect. 2 Timothy 3 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. And right now, maybe economically or in your own soul, you need to be profitable. And so I want to pray with you real quick and just trust God to apply these principles. Father, we just love you. We want your Word, oh God, to take root in our lives, to be alive and to be active. We want to be successful, God, in our walk, in our Christian experience. We want to be profitable in your kingdom. And we look forward, God, to success. So, Father, I just pray for Streams Church and the body of Christ. Each one of us, God, let your word be planted and rooted deep within us. Teach us your ways. Father, we want to walk with you more and more every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Streams, thanks so much for letting me share. And we'll see you soon.
Hey, thanks, Paul. What a very appropriate word for today's message. Don't forget Romans 8:28, that in all things we know that God works out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So if it's not good yet, which it isn't, that means God's not done yet. And so we have to ask ourselves as followers of Jesus, as Streams Church, if God's not done yet in the season, how can we partner with him in what he's doing, and what is he doing? And we said Isaiah 61 is a great prophetic word about the Messiah for this time, because the scripture says that Jesus was anointed to preach good news, proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. And then we've gone through the last couple of weeks, this great exchange is what we call it, where he gives beauty for the ashes, the things that's been burned to the ground during the season, things that probably won't come back. The Lord is able to redeem that, because that's what he is. He's a great redeemer. He always redeems situations. So he makes beauty out of ashes. And last week we talked about that he gives us the oil of joy for mourning. And how many situations or things right now are people grieving because they're gone, or the way of life as we knew it? And the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is represented as oil. And so Jesus exchanges this mourning that we have for this oil of joy, and that we come to this understanding that circumstances don't define me. My Father defines me. And he loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. And now he doesn't leave me alone. He gives me Holy Spirit in my life, who's always present in my life. And he is my oil of joy. He is my comforter and my peace and my truth and my wisdom and my revelation. And he's my counselor and he is my power. And I want to pray for you today. I'd like to ask you to close your eyes. And then if you feel powerless right now, would you just extend your hands forward like you're going to catch something or someone? Just extend your hands in a place of receptivity. So right now, Father, I pray for everyone who feels powerless in this moment, like everything's out of their control. And they're spiraling. Right now, I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come with power from on high. And so I pray that right now you would fill every heart and mind, that you would fall in the upper rooms around this world, and there would be dynamic expressions of your power, that you give us strength and courage, and to realize that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. We thank you for that power. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Let's read Isaiah 61 and get into the heart of our message. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. It's a great exchange, Isaiah 61. Jesus gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And the first two that we've talked about, the beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, were passive gifts. They were given to us. Not really you have to do anything. It's just an exchange that was made. And I call those passive gifts. But this next one, he's given us the garment of praise. It's really an active gift. And so Christmas time, you get gifts. So you might get a new TV. sort of a passive gift. After you set it up, it's a passive gift. You might get a gift certificate for a pedicure, which Mother's Day next weekend, guys, you can get your wife a gift certificate, and hopefully within a week they can get out there and just have a nice time. So there's another passive gift. You sit there, somebody does something for you. But if they give you a basketball hoop to put out on your driveway, that's an active gift. You set it up, and then you get the use of it by participating and getting active. It's a great gift to buy right now today. Try to find active gifts that engage us during this time. So today we're talking about getting the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that's an active gift. It's something that we're given that then we have to activate in worship and praise. And so the spirit of despair is just a profound word for this season. And the word despair has a couple of word pictures. And the first one is when everything is burned to the ground and there's just this smoking embers that are there. And if you've ever seen video footage from people that have returned back to their homes or places they love from a fire, you see this. They're walking around and they're just looking with this bewilderment at their house and how did this happen? And they might have seen a picture frame as something that they've lost forever. And you sort of feel this with them, the sympathy with them, that all is lost and it's just smoke rising right now. Another word picture that comes with this word that's associated in the original language, this word is the dimness of eyes that happen in old age, where things are no longer clear and they're fuzzy. And you can get the picture of this weight upon a person. And some translations call it not despair, they call it the spirit of heaviness. And so Jesus giving us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness is not a diet program, okay? Because right now I need to be delivered from the spirit of heaviness. During this sort of isolation time, I know I've gained some weight. I guess the spirit of praise, if you grew up in a Pentecostal expression, you know what I'm talking about. There are moments you can burn some calories with a spirit of praise. And I've been in churches where people just start running and hour-long worship, just the worship part's an hour-long. By the time you're done sweating and you're burning off calories. And then back days too, we didn't have the scriptures on our cell phone. Some of us had massive Bibles. And I've seen these videos out there of people doing home exercises with cans of corn or whatever. We just used our Bible back then. They were that big and that heavy, you could just get a good arm workout. So this has nothing to do with weight loss when it comes to this exchange that we're getting. It's the spirit of heaviness, this darkened, this dim perspective on life. It's mental health. And we know right now, according to what we're reading and what we're hearing, that mental health is skyrocketing in our land because of what we're going through. Isolation, separation from people. And I just wanna just crush a myth right now. And if you've been around me long enough, you know that this is close to my heart, because I grew up at times in the world and still is and in the church that mental health for some reason is equated with the demonic or spiritual. And there might be a time, but most of the time, then my understanding of people that I've dealt with mental health is it's emotional or it's physical. It may manifest itself spiritually, but it has more to do with DNA or childhood experiences of abuse or any type of abuse, of prolonged periods of stress. Your mind can't keep up with that. And I have negotiated and navigated and struggled with mental health most of my life. And it manifests itself in a lot of pain, with a cluster of headaches. Emotionally, at times it's manifested, which then often leads to sleep deprivation with me, which then leads to negative thoughts, which then this spiral starts happening. More pain, more headaches, excuse me, more sleep deprivation, more negative thoughts. And I know some of you probably are in that phase right now. Or if you're sitting here and you know of somebody, maybe you can share this with them, because I just want to speak to that. Here are a couple things that I do. As I surround myself with people that love me, know me, and won't judge me, which might be difficult right now. You might be isolated right now. You might not be around those people. But it's important for you to reach out, to text them, to email them, to get a FaceTime together with them, to get a Zoom with them, because those are the people that you need. But you've got to be honest about where you're at. I have pastor friends that speak into my life, and my wife, and the things that they do is they don't try to fix me in the moment. They try to help guide me through the moment, which is a huge difference. And when people are spiraling, you need to let them know I'm with you. This will be okay. We'll get through it. They think for some reason, well, if you would just do this, you wouldn't think those thoughts anymore. So I'm going to be really honest and vulnerable. I've had moments that I've said to my wife, I don't know if you've ever gone to a doctor or a new doctor, or the doctor's office, and they make you fill out a form on your mental, on your previous health, your past health, what's wrong with you, what kind of surgeries you've gone through. But they always have this box. Have you ever thought thoughts of self-harm or suicide? And I came back from one, I don't know how long ago, but I said to my wife, I go, I hate that question. I don't know why they even have it on there, because everybody has. To which she replied, no, they haven't. But if you're somebody that's struggling with mental health and you deal with those things, you just think everybody's like that, and then you realize that nobody's like that, and you just go through this exchange of negative thoughts. And she said, no, not everybody has thought that way, Lloyd. And I've had a couple moments in my life. One that I remember, years ago, we were on a cruise ship, and we got there, and then 2 days later, I went into one of my cluster headache sessions, and they're just vicious. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm out of my cabin, sitting on a chair, looking over the ocean, and I'm 8 or 9 levels up, I don't remember. And one of the workers came by and just like, are you okay, sir? You don't look okay. And I was just rocking and reeling in pain. And I said, yeah, of course. But in that moment, I was looking out and sort of playing the list in my mind. If I was to jump, what's the negative things that could happen and what's the positive? And the only thing I thought of positively is the pain would stop. But then I realized that all the beautiful, wonderful things that God has provided in my life, and could have my wife and my children and the church and people who love me. But that's a spirit of heaviness. That's a spirit of despair. And there's all kinds of reasons, not just spiritual, that you might be in that place. And mine comes from just a ton of childhood physical and emotional abuse. And so I surround myself with people who believe in me, who love me, who can say to me, I know this isn't you right now. How can I help? It would be ridiculous of us to think that if we knew somebody who had a broken leg, to tell them, get up, run harder, run faster, and you'll be healed. We would never do that. It would be insensitive to do that to someone. But yet when it comes to mental health, you just think better, you try more, you pray harder, and for some reason it's going to go away. And there are elements that are truth. But right, if you're in that place right now, finding people that have veto power in your life, because right now is not a time to make big decisions. So somebody you know that's not going to judge you can say, hey, these are the thoughts I'm having right now. Tell me yes, tell me no. And right now in this moment, I know you trust me, believe me, but I'm a little out there. I give you that veto power. Here's another thing I want to tell you. Get some rest. It's okay. Take a nap. That's why the Lord created the Sabbath. The Lord created Sabbath for a couple of things, and it really has to do with all of our mental health, is that our bodies, our minds need rest. We need moments to disengage. A third of your day, every day, should be sleeping and resting so that you can disengage your mind and body so your body can recharge. The second thing the Sabbath is there for is to remind us of the beautiful, wonderful things in our life. Slow down, stop, this isolation period has really helped us to do that. This is my family. I see them every day. It's really important to me. I forgot how much fun family time is. Slow down, stop, and realize what's important to you in your life. And then I rest, I surround myself with people who believe in me, and then I go through a process of capturing dangerous thoughts. And that's where we're going to be at today, is how do we capture dangerous thoughts that come into our lives. And so I've got a couple of scriptures I'm going to read to you, and then we'll explain them afterwards.
2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 through 5. It is true, we live in a body of flesh, but we do not fight like the people of the world. We do not use those things to fight with that the world uses. We use the things God gives to fight with, and they have power. Those things God gives to fight with destroy the strong places of the devil. We break down every thought and proud thing that puts itself up against the wisdom of God. We take hold of every thought and make it obey Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 37 through 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The scripture in 2 Corinthians has to do with Paul actually talking about people that were coming to bring lies and confusion against the gospel, against his ministry, and he's talking about combating those type of thoughts and capturing those type of thoughts and the power of Christ over that. And I think even though it's sort of in that realm, it's easily transferable for a double mean when it comes to the lies and the deceptions and the thoughts that Satan tries to put in your head, mental health issues. And the way to combat that is through the power of Christ, but to capture those thoughts, to capture those thoughts and tear them back down. So that's why I put the scripture about Romans 8 in there, that if God is for you, who can be against you? So when those thoughts come, one of the things to do is profess, capture the thoughts, and part of worship is declaration, declaring what is true, what you know to be true in scripture, what you know to be true in song. So when you're feeling alone, you feel like you're in this by yourself, the scripture of Romans 8, God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Christ justified you, then you are right with God. You don't have to do the job. The job's already been done. You don't have to raise yourself up out of this. You just have to take the thoughts and to speak what you know is true until the truth lines up with what the thoughts are. You're capturing those and throwing those away. So that's why Romans chapter 8 says, what shall separate you? And it goes through this whole list. Nothing. Nothing can separate you. And these are ways of transferring the thoughts with scripture, with worship. These lies, these myths, these false arguments that try to tear you down, they're trying to condemn you, that God has an exchange, Christ has an exchange, and it's this garment, this active garment of praise and worship to combat those thoughts. I think Elijah the prophet was bipolar. And I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist, but this guy had these unbelievable mood swings where he was on top of the world, the man, taking on the 450 prophets of Baal, one against 450, whoever takes up the sacrifice, they both made sacrifices to God, their gods, whichever God answers by fire, let him be the God of Israel. Nothing happens when these guys, it's Elijah's turn. He's so sure of himself, he pours water over the sacrifice, and sure enough, he prays, and God takes up the sacrifice. So he's on top of the world. He's the man, comes down off the mountain, and finds out that the queen, Jezebel, is sending men to take his life, to kill him. And he goes into this deep, dark depression. And so 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, He left his servant there. So he's isolating himself, getting away from other people, which is a sign of mental health right now. And so he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came to a broom bush, sat down under and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Excuse me. And then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. And all at once, the angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. Oh, that's so powerful. He's in this dark place. He wants to die, and he falls asleep. He's so exhausted. And so the angel comes to him and is already preparing food for him. And he taps him and says, "It's time to get up, Elijah. Eat and rest. The journey is long for you." And so he does, and then the scripture says he falls back asleep again, and the angel makes him more food, and he wakes him. He says, "You have a long journey. Eat and rest. Get some food and water." And then Elijah takes this 40-day trip, and he goes farther away, and he gets to a cave where he hides. So we're picking up the story in verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah, in the cave all alone?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And it's interesting because the Lord asks him again later on, and he says the same exact speech, word for word. And you know why? Because for 40 days, he was walking and thinking and walking and thinking over and over again, so much more. He played it in his head so much that he has this negative narrative of his life memorized. "I'm the only one. I've done great things for you, God. I stood up for you. Everybody else left you, but not me. And now they're trying to kill me too." And so the scripture says that God told him to go out and to wait for him. So he goes out to the mouth of the cave, and a powerful wind happens, comes by. And Elijah knew that God was not in the wind. And then an earthquake shook the earth. Elijah knew that God wasn't in the earthquake. And then fire comes down. Elijah knew that God wasn't in a fire. And then all of a sudden he hears this gentle whisper. And when he does, he takes his veil and puts it over his face because he knows the presence of God is coming. And he knows the gentle whisper is the Father. You can't scream like a powerful wind with people who have mental health issues and expect them to respond. This powerful wind of, "I'm just going to argue with you, and I'm going to fight with you, and you're going to get healthy by this." It won't happen. It never makes a person sane. The earthquake of shaking them, this barrage of argument, or here's all, if you just knew what I knew, here's all the self-help help websites. And you can't expect an irrational person to think rationally. You know, and then this fire, man, if you don't stop this, you're going to lose this, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to hold back this, and there's this, you're going to lose everything if you don't get yourself emotionally stable right now. But that doesn't work either, because mental health people who are dealing with mental health, they're already ready to implode. They're already thinking thoughts of self-harm. So all you've done is given them a way out without feeling guilty after the fact that they did it to themselves. It doesn't work. Guilt. What helps is a gentle whisper. I've had moments where maybe I got a little manic, and my wife, we've been married for 34 years this month, so 34 years on the 17th of May. She's so amazing. And what she'll say right now is, "It'll be okay. How can I help you right now? Is there anything I can do to help you?" And when she says that, it's one of those words that I know I'm getting a little out there. I need to settle down a little bit. And she's there to help me. And if I don't need her help, I'll just say, you know what? I need to pause for a little bit. And then what she tells me this is, she goes, listen, go out to the jacuzzi or go lie down, turn on some worship music, and just rest. And that's the way that I take my mind captive. And it's interesting, this scripture with Elijah, that when the father whispers to him, he just gives him some practical advice about, hey, this is where you need to go, and this is who you need to see. And then he just finally says, oh, and by the way, you're not alone. I have 7,000 of Israel whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. So you're not alone, Elijah. There are other people with you. What you're believing about yourself, Elijah, right now is not true. Nothing, Elijah, shall separate you from my love and my presence. You can do all things. Right? God confronted the lie, the mental stronghold, the thought that had taken him captive. And he said, I'm going to speak over you what is true. And so some of you right now are struggling right now. I know that, but they're not true. And God, and Jesus has given you a great exchange. It's the garment of praise. But this exchange, to go overcome despair, is an active. It's a proclamation. It's words that you need to speak, songs that you need to sing, and tell what you're speaking and what you're singing overcomes what you're thinking. It'll be 6 years ago, March 30th, that I got really sick in Japan. I was in 5 days in ICU and 10 days recovering in the hospital. I had E. coli poisoning that I was right on the death doorstep. And they have very strict rules in Japan where people are only allowed to come see you a couple hours a day. And so there I was. My wife would come by 2 hours a day, and then I had 22 hours by myself. And they allowed me to get an iPad from my family, and so I just downloaded worship songs in my being alone, in my trying to recover physically. And no, I don't even know the language. I'm just sitting in there in this place, isolated. And so I set up a worship list. I use Spotify, but whatever you want to use, or you can set up a worship list where certain songs that I need to hear right now that affirm to me God's love and his power and his strength. So the song that became my song that I played over and over and over again is a song by Bethel years ago. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder all the promises you made. And so anytime those thoughts come, I just would sing that song and worship with that song. That this, the thoughts I'm having are not true. This is what's true. It's the garment of praise and worship. And I know that some of you are there right now. You're thinking thoughts. They're not true. If you ever have moments of darkness where you're considering self-harm, please call suicide prevention hotlines. Text somebody that you know that cares for you. You can even call or text us or email us at the church, and we'll be glad to talk you through it, have somebody help with that. But there are places you need to reach out to. But in these moments, declaring the scripture, declaring prophetic words that people have given about you. Prophetic words are so profound because you can speak them over during dark times to remind you what is true and what God thinks about you. Or worship songs. Worship songs are a declaration. So I asked Jackie to come on, and we're going to play one more of the songs that she sings just so we can declare today what's true, because God has given us a garment of praise for this spirit of despair. If you're struggling with anything, any type of despair or loneliness, man, now's a good time to get a part of one of our circle groups. We call them circle groups here at Streams Church. They're groups of 10 to 15 who are having online conversations right now with one another. We want to invite you to join that and go to our website to get more information about that. So if you're in your circle groups, I think that here's some things you can do this week. Have some people share times where a declaration of scripture or a worship song or a prophetic word that declaring that got them through a difficult time. And be very specific, make it short, but this is what was happening to me. This is how I overcame it with worship or God's word or prophetic word. And then I think as we get together, Streams Church, this week, this would be a wonderful time to take a mental health check and ask people how they're doing. And we want you to be honest. And then as they're being honest, maybe suggestions, maybe you know a song, a worship song that would be great for them. Maybe you know a scripture that we can write out on a little card or a piece of paper and put on our wall or hand it to them. Or they can put it on their computer and read it every day, several times a day, so that we can take those thoughts captive with what we know is true through God's word, prophetic, and through worship. Have a wonderful week. Next week is Mother's Day. Don't forget to send me, if you want one of those videos, about a 1 minute video, send it to me at pastorlord@streamschurch.org. And we'll get some of those as we celebrate Mother's Day next week. God bless.